Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, we believe Simon Harris and Taoiseach has arrived at government buildings where he's due to speak to the assembled media very shortly. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe is there. He's at government buildings. Sean, what's happening?
Hey, Andrea. Yeah, we're just waiting now basically for the Taoiseach to come down and call the election. Some of his advisors coming out of government buildings there ahead of a hopefully prompt half one speech is the plan. Big gaggle of media down here, as there always is, looking into a historic moment, really, the ending of the 33rd Dáil, a Dáil that was full of history, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil going into the coalition together for the very first time, a turn that saw three separate Taoiseach hold office, which has never happened before in the history of the country. So pretty significant moment coming up now where he's going to dissolve the Dáil, head up to Árasán Uachtaráin then to meet the president, do all the formalities. And polling day being set for November 29th.
Yeah, so quite literally we see the podium with the microphones at the plinth or just outside Dáil Éireann. Do we have any idea what he's expected to say here today, Sean?
Well, he's going to give a speech. We're expecting it not to be massively long. He's not going to hang around. You've got the thing set up on the steps of government buildings and looking up to his office where a number of staff members are looking out, and indeed staff across government buildings, the base themselves here, Taoiseach staff, Taoiseach staff, Green Party staff, all sort of looking out the window, moving on the fairly historic moment. He's probably going to outline the rationale for holding the election now, say that this government has run full term and that it has been a solid government, delivered five budgets, delivered through pretty significant moments as well. It's kind of mad to think, right, the last time that Ireland voted in a general election, Donald Trump was in office in the US. He now obviously returning to office. COVID-19 was a faraway problem that hadn't infected our lives yet. And as I mentioned before, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had never done government before. We hadn't had a war in Europe in decades. All of this happening in the lifespan of this last government. So no doubt he's going to talk up his achievements and the government's achievements and say that he's looking for his own mandate, his own rationale, and the wind he hopes, I suppose, will be behind Fine Gael when they do take to the polls now in the next little while.
Craig Hughes, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, is with me here in studio, Sean, too. I know you're keeping a close eye and close watch on when Simon Harris comes out to the podium. But the logistics, Craig, of what happens, as Sean said, he'll deliver his speech, then it's into the car and off to the arse.
Yes, he'll go off to Árasán Uachtaráin, where he will formally ask President Michael D. Higgins to dissolve the Dáil. Afterwards, then he will speak briefly to the media. And then it's really properly game on in terms of election. He'll go straight off canvassing into the evening time. He's heading to the Ireland against the All Blacks in the Aviva Stadium, as is Taoiseach Micheál Martin. I saw a quick itinerary of his itinerary for the day. He's also out canvassing. He's been out canvassing from this morning. I guess he's keen to point out that he isn't the old man of the government, that he's still full of fresh energy, that isn't just Simon Harris who has this new energy. And we've started to see all the other parties come out really pushing the start of their election campaign, what they will offer to the electorate. Labour were out this morning.
I saw quite a few of them actually out this morning on my way in. I don't know, Sean, if you noticed this over the past couple of hours, but there's election posters up too.
There is. They're up everywhere. I was nearly actually taken out on my drive in this morning by a car pulling a trailer of Jim O'Callaghan posters that sort of veered across the lane and nearly took me out. I thought, what a way to go on election day, taken out by a trailer full of Jim O'Callaghan's faces would have been a strange way to do. And yeah, look, they are up everywhere. They're not meant to be until the president actually does it all. There's a bit of back and forth on that whether...
Hang on a second. I was wondering this today. Can you erect the posters on the polls before the Dáil is officially dissolved this afternoon?
It's to do with the writ being issued, and it has to be on the day that the writ is issued. So they're actually chancing their arm. If it went that the writ wasn't issued today, they'd be in trouble and it would all be littering. They might just get away with it. In reality, look, none of the actual local authorities are going to punish them. But in theory, it's a €150 fine per poster. You can place some, so like ones that are on a verge and big billboards that people would have seen over the last time, they're okay as long as they've been paid for from personal funds and not party funds. But you shouldn't be seeing them up in reality. We've seen them up for days, if not weeks. It's been a long time that we've had posters and faces on. And indeed, sitting on Merrion Street now, there is a big, massive Fianna Fáil truck that Micheál Martin launched earlier with the theme song. I don't know if this is the theme song for the election of Fatboy Slim's Right Here, Right Now. Strange choice, I thought. I'm not sure what that was about.
Yeah, the election posters are up. Like, I mean, the afternoon and early evening, Craig, is going to be bedlam now with candidates all over the length and breadth of the country trying to get their posters erected in every poll.
It is, and as Sean said, a lot of them started from last night. You know, technically, if there's, I mean, it was all right. I saw a few in my area that were up before that. But look, this is part and parcel of it. As Sean said, I can't imagine local authorities chomping at the bit to go out and start finding people for this. But we really are now on an election footing where it's the first day of the campaign. So it'll be interesting to see how the government parties who've worked so well together will now suddenly be taking veiled swipes at each other to tell people that they're the ones that they should be giving their number one vote for. Well, at the same time, not being too derogatory or cutting of their coalition colleagues who they'll be relying on for transfers.
Now, I know Sean is keeping an eye on the plinth, and we're awaiting on Taoiseach Simon Harris to come out to deliver his speech to the assembled media. But our own Andrew Lyth is also at Aras an Uachtaráin. Andrew, what is happening there at the moment?
Well, Andrea, it's very busy up here in North Nuthron. Actually, it's getting quite busy. A lot of the media assembling themselves just outside the entrance of North Nuthron as we wait for the Taoiseach Simon Harris to make his way here so that he can request the President dissolve the Dáil. So basically what will happen here, Andrea, is that Simon Harris will arrive and he will be accompanied by the Secretary General of the government, John Callanan, and they'll be greeted by the Secretary General to the President here. And then the Taoiseach will go in, he'll sign the visitor's book, all those lovely formalities. And then President Higgins and the Taoiseach will then be moved to their seat in the state reception room. And what will happen here is President Higgins will sign the proclamation of dissolution and he will pass it to the Taoiseach for a counter signature. And once that's done, Andrea, it's go time. The general election has officially gotten underway. And after that, then it will be on the clerk of the Dáil to issue a writ to all 43 returning officers in all the constituencies to make sure that they know that a general election has been called, and then it'll be on the housing minister to move that writ, which will set the polling date, as we already know, to be November 29th.
November 29th. So I assume then, Andrew, the proceedings that get underway, certainly from memory and other elections at Aras an Uachtaráin, it's actually just a very procedural event that happens there, and it's not overly long.
No, it's not. It's very procedural, very ceremonial. You know, it's one of those elements of seeing the constitution being adhered to. You know, this is a constitutional element of all the procedures here. The Taoiseach, he wants to dissolve the 33rd Dáil. He must request that of the President. The President, in some circumstances, can reject that. He's not likely to do so. But yeah, it's generally a very, very short procedure here, Andrea. And again, it's short but sweet, and it will start us into a short but sweet campaign.
Well, by all accounts, we're waiting on Simon Harris to come out to the plinth, Andrew, so I'd say you have time to go and get yourself a coffee anyway when we're waiting for this speech and by the time it takes and whatever Friday afternoon traffic is like. But I'm sure the Garda drivers will probably avail of the bus lanes to make their way through the Phoenix Park and up to Aras an Uachtaráin. The ministers, though, Craig, they're still ministers until the new Dáil is, the new incumbent Dáil is enacted.
Until a new government is formed, though, your listeners will recall last time the votes were counted start of February, but we didn't have a new government until mid June.
So sure, it was right in COVID. Remember
exactly. So we had the ghosts of the previous Dáil still lurking around, actually running the country. I don't anticipate it'll be anywhere near as long this time, namely because last time we had to get over the major hurdle of having the two civil war parties come together for the first time. If, as we expect, now look, everything can change during an election campaign, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are the two largest parties after the general election, or certainly, you know, the same, as long as Sinn Féin don't overly dwarf that and it's relatively similar, I would expect that there's enough commonality has been found already and enough common policies found that basically building on the legacies or the policies of before, it will not take as long as it did previously to form a new government.
Yeah. The other side of it too, Sean, I suppose we're all sort of hoping and praying and hopefully so that
here
we won't...
Here comes Andrea. Andrea, he's just coming out to the podium now, so we'll have to cut across there and take Taoiseach Simon Harris walking up for the biggest moment of his career yet.
We have our panel will stay with us.
Good afternoon, everyone. I will now travel to Aras an Uachtaráin to advise President Higgins to Section 2 of Article 13 of our Constitution.
To dissolve Dáil Éireann. To advise President Higgins, pursuant to Section 2 of Article 13 of our Constitution, to dissolve Dáil Éireann, to allow a general election to be held on Friday, the 29th of November. I want to start by saying to the people of this great country, this great democracy, you alone are sovereign. You go out and you cast your vote, and in return, you're entitled to good government and hard work. I believe that this government has made real progress for our country, and I want to today thank my colleagues in the Fine Gael Party and our coalition partners in Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. We did not agree on every issue, but we did always work hard and together for the good of the Irish people. Our coalition delivered 5 progressive budgets. Budgets that protected our people during the COVID pandemic, during Russia's ongoing illegal invasion of Ukraine, and the cost of living crisis that flowed from the return of the war to Europe. Our coalition is delivering new homes across our country, and it has built up the finances and the plans to deliver the homes that our people need in the future. The time is now right to ask the Irish people to give a new mandate. Ireland is a country of industry, of enterprise, of agriculture and education, community, culture and compassion. On the international stage, we are a country of conscience, a country that believes in international law. The voices of our more than 5 million citizens are listened to because of our track record and moral compass, seen most clearly in the recognition of the state of Palestine in May. We are a small country with a big influence all over the world, and we have many assets, but no asset more valuable than our people. Irish people are decent, they're hardworking, they're fair, and it is the honour of my lifetime to serve as your Taoiseach. In just 7 short months, I've travelled to every part of this beautiful country. I've met thousands of you, and we've discussed hundreds of issues. Your concerns are my priorities. And over the next 3 weeks, I will seek a mandate to continue as your Taoiseach and to deliver for you on the things that matter most to you, your family, your community, and to our country. I want to secure your future. Others will, of course, seek alternative mandates. And it's vital we have an election that fully considers our very different visions for our country's economic and social future. The progress Ireland has made and can make should never be taken for granted. This election must be a safe and respectful campaign for all politicians and all their teams, and I wish all candidates luck. Finally, I ask just one thing of the Irish people. Value your vote. Use your voice. That's how this country works. It's how we listen. It's how we act on your behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, if you give me your trust, I will give you my all. Gairmín Amhagaibh.
So there you have it. Simon Harris has just made a speech at the plinth of Leinster House. He's now making his way, we can see, over to his car, where he will be brought to Áras an Uachtaráin, and where he'll formally request that on President Michael D. Higgins dissolve the 33rd Dáil. It's officially game on, Sean.
Morning, and we know
the starting gun has just been fired on election 2024. That is what we're seeing now as Simon Harris heads out the gates of government buildings for the first time to dissolve this Dáil, this 33rd Dáil. It's their short speech, just under 4 minutes, that he delivered, talking about his government partners, thanks them, even if they didn't always agree. It'll be interesting to see how chippy they get during the campaign with each other as they put out the very different visions, as Simon Harris said, for what the country should look like. And he spoke a number of times about a mandate and having his lone mandate. Of course, he is the third Taoiseach to hold office during the lifetime of this government without any second election or election of the people. Leo Varadkar obviously had the second go at it. Micheál Martin, the first Taoiseach of this government. So speaking to people out there saying, look, we've made progress on the key issues, and his line at the end, I suppose the key one, if you give me your trust, I'll give you my all. And I think that's something you'll hear a lot from Simon Harris in the course of this campaign. He is someone who likes to put out there that he's working non-stop, high energy all the time, and that's the government he would win.
Political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, Craig Hughes, is still with me in studio. He touched on what he sees as some of his own personal achievements, Craig.
Yeah, and he pointed out that he's travelled the length and breadth of the country already in his short tenure as Taoiseach, and that he understands the problems facing the country. It's pretty clear from his speech there what both him and Fianna Fáil will focus on as their key successes in government. I mean, COVID being the big one initially, we know that by any fair metric, we've performed much better than our European colleagues, particularly our colleagues across the Irish Sea, the United Kingdom, and also how the state responded to the war in Ukraine and the cost of living crisis that made. I mean, we saw two significant interventions from the state that we kind of hadn't really seen to a level before, where they intervened to prop up businesses, to make sure households were receiving energy credits, and so they weren't overly exposed to the inflationary impacts of that. And they argue that it was their prudent handling of the finance, of the state finances, that allowed them to have that firepower. And there was only one other key point as well. He said it's important that, you know, that people look at the different economic visions being set out, and that'll be a clear division line, because what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's plan for, say, even housing and the broader economy, it is radically different to Sinn Féin's plan, and they'll be trying to poke holes in that as the campaign goes on.
We'll see a lot of that over the next over the next 3 weeks. Sean, just to cast your mind back and crank to yourself as well, in your own sort of political memory, the short, snappy, brief campaign that we're going to see over the next 3 weeks, like it's busy, it's intense. How do they tend to fare out, Sean?
Yes, forget sleep for the next few weeks, Andrea, is basically what you're asking about here. Yeah, they're busy and they are intensive. With a 3 week campaign, you're going to see a lot of that. It's going to be a bit of a different campaign this time. I wonder how social media plays into it. Into the social media landscape has changed very significantly since last time, particularly on X, and the demographic and what's being pushed has changed a lot. We've seen that in the US election. That'll play out here as well. Obviously, there are going to be fewer TV debates with Virgin Media not doing them, so that shapes this campaign differently to other ones, where the ground war may become all important again. And if you were looking at the ground war, you would have to say advantage to Fianna Fáil, where a lot of the Sinn Féin TDs obviously were elected from not being councillors beforehand and don't have the machinery maybe there, and Fine Gael has all sorts of problems in its own ticket with 18 TDs retiring, so that could be an interesting aspect of this. But it will be non-stop. I mean, right now Simon Harris is heading to the Oras. He's going out to canvass a number of constituencies and areas in Dublin West and Dublin Midwest after that, and then on to the Aviva. And I think there will definitely be more politicians and canvassers at the Aviva Stadium tonight than there are rugby players, so if you're heading along just for a quiet pint,
it'll not be a rugby analysis you'll be listening to in the pub. It'll be canvassing
It'll be, Jesus, your man Fine Gael, he has this leaflet that he's handed me and wouldn't leave me alone.
Preaching about parties. Yeah. Craig, short, snappy campaigns, are they better?
Well, I think with this campaign, while the starting gun has officially been fired today, we've actually been out the door for a while before. People have been out canvassing now for the last couple of weeks. But just to pick up on one point that the Taoiseach made, which I guess is a kind of dark undercurrent to this election, he pointed out that, you know, it must be safe for everyone. And that harks back to, of course, Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, being assaulted on a canvas. I guess that would be the broad hope that isn't symptomatic of what's to come, and that we don't see this campaign turn ugly.
Andrew Lyth, the reporter, is with us from Aras and Uachtaráin. Aras, I should say. Andrew, you are awaiting Simon Harris's arrival.
Yeah, I am awaiting here, Andrew. And look, I know he'll probably have plenty of guard escorts and the like of that. But traffic around from the government building side towards the Oras was actually a little bit busy, so we might be waiting a little bit while for him yet. But we are expecting him to arrive here sometime between 2 o'clock and 2:30, probably somewhere in the 2:15-2 range. But certainly, after that speech, it's very much game on for the general election. And it'll be one of the things I think will be interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks is whether Simon Harris actually got this one right, because Fine Gael, they have a history of not getting it right in the past. If you remember, Leo Varadkar was pretty much forced to go in 2020 when he probably didn't want to. And then in the past, he would have had Enda Kenny, probably went a little bit too late than when he should have gone. And then you can go back to John Bruton and Gareth Fitzgerald as well. Simon Harris has kind of, he's kind of sat in his hands a little bit waiting for this one to go. And in that meantime, he's had his coalition partners kind of undermine him a little bit. Roderick O'Gorman first announcing that he would like to see a date of November 29th. And then, of course, just earlier this week, Taoiseach is basically saying when the Dáil would be dissolved before Simon Harris.
Yeah, the timing of the election. There'll be plenty more analysis of that, I'm sure, after the 29th of November. Our reporter, Andrew Lyth, will have more from Maris and Uthron over the next half an hour today. You'll hear more, too, from Sean Defoe, our political correspondent at Government Buildings, Craig Hughes, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Craig, thanks a million for joining us here as well in studio.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our programme, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavour, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.